Today's shiur is Daf Ayin Hey Masechta the Sanhedrin, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Hey Omen Aleph, the second line. Amar Yehuda Merav. There was an incident where there's a person, a man, who became obsessed with a certain woman. Tina. He had no way of controlling that obsession. And they came, they asked doctors what could be done for him. And the doctor said, there is nothing that could be done until he has relations with that woman. So the Chachamim said, rather to let the man pass away, die, rather than do this horrible aveira. So once Chazal gave their decision, so doctors now said, Tam lefan of aruma. If the Chachamim will not allow for relations to take place, at least let her stand in front of him without any clothing. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Here the doctors were first said that they have to have relations. That's the only thing that'll help. And right away, as soon as that formula can't be followed, so they come up with a different approach. What's happening here? So I saw that a number of answers to this question. One answer is, certainly the doctors felt that the best formula would be that they should have relations. Once they heard that Chazal were not allowing them to do so, so at least try this. It's one teretz. Darach L'Ner's teretz. Another teretz that I saw the Mitzvah Stavit suggests is that the doctors still felt that the best formula would be having relations, and that would heal him. Standing in front of him without clothing would not heal him, however, would at least accomplish t'chayisho, that for a short while, that would calm him down. And still Chazal didn't allow it. And the Inyan Yaakov says a third teretz. All the doctors said was that the only approach that they felt could work here was having relations. And the Chachamim said that that was unacceptable. And the Chachamim went on and said, even if it wasn't just having relations, of course, a terrible aveira, we'll discuss more in a moment, if that had been the only suggestion the doctors offered, we would not allow it. But even if the doctors offered a suggestion that you should stand without clothing, or even if the doctors just offered a suggestion, as we're going to learn in a moment, they should just speak to each other, even that we would not allow, because, as the Gemara will explain. So they came up, Tam Tesapi my Mechura Geder. At least let them speak to each other from behind a fence. So Chacham said, Yomus, we'd rather he die, like Tesapi my Mechura Geder. So says not a Gemara, Pligvar Rav Yaakbar Idi Vashmuva Nachmeini. There's a machloik between Rav Yaakbar Idi and Vashmuva Nachmeini, exactly what was the story here. Charama Ishis Ishaisa. One opinion was that she was an Ashes Ish. V'charama Pnuya Haisa. She was a single girl. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamandama Ashes Haisa. According to the opinion that she was an Ashes Ish, Shaper, we could very well understand the Psak of the Chachamim. So Issa Deraisa, to have relations with an Ashes Ish. And that's why Chazal was so strict about, even under this serious situation, not allowing it. Why? So the Aruch L'Ner has an interesting approach. He says, the doctors, and particularly as the Gemara shows, we can't rely on what the doctors are saying. So here the doctors are saying that he should do such a horrible aveira, and we can't be certain the doctors really know that this is going to work, so we can't allow such a serious isser to be allowed on a question if it'll work. But most Mefarshim and Poskim take a very different approach to this Gemara. And they say that our Gemara is teaching us that something that's in the category of a Vizrayu de Gilei Rayis, not only Gilei Rayis having relations with someone that you're not supposed to is Usur, but even at Vizrayu de Gilei Rayis, anything that is part of that Isur is also Usur. And therefore, not only having relations with the Eishes Ish would be Usur, but even looking at her without clothing is also because it's in the category of a Vizrai de Gila Rais. And our Gemara is following the approach that anything that's Vizrai de Gila Rais is also. And that's why our Gemara is very understandable, explaining these Mefarshim, that the Gemara is saying we can now understand the difference between the question that the Gemara is asking, why that if that's the reason that it's Usur, because it's a Vizrai de Gila Rais, why that Isser is specific to Eishas Ish, because Isser Eishas Ish is an Isser Daraisa, an Isser Chiv Skila, that's why we're so strict about it. El Mandamar, according to Mandamar, Pnuya Haisa, so since the Isser of having relations with a Pnuya, even if it's an Isser Daraisa, is not an Isser Skila, says the Gemara, if it's Raya de Gila Rais, even if it's Usur, will only be Usur regarding Eishes Ish, but not regarding Pnuya, and therefore ask the Gemara, if she was a single woman, why were Chacham so strict? Actually, this Shailah, I discussed it in my Sefer in Hilchas Yichud, is a very interesting question. It's not that common nowadays, but it was more common in olden days, where, let's say, a woman goes into labor on Shabbos. The Paiskim discussed this Shailah. A woman goes into labor on Shabbos, and they call a midwife to come deliver the baby. The midwife's a married Jewish woman. And how is she going to get to the delivering mother? She's going to go with a driver, horse and wagon, whatever is going to drive her. And again, particularly in those days, there were a lot of roads that were desolate roads, that there's Issa Yichud on those roads. If our Gemara is now teaching us, the way we're understanding the Gemara, that if Vizraya de Gilei Arayis is Usur, when it's a shail of Issa Daraisa of Achiv Skila, so Yichud is in a Vizrai de Gila Arayis. So leaving the woman, the midwife, the Eishes Ish, with the driver, is Yichud. And we just finished learning the Sugyas, that by Gila Arayis, Yaharek Val Yavis. So even though normally, of course, the Halach is, on Shabbos we're supposed to do anything for Pekuach Nefashis, but not Gila Arayis, or as we're learning now, even a Vizrai de Gila Arayis. So what should be done? So actually, the best thing is to try to find, as Al Gemara indeed teaches us, to find a single woman who's a midwife, because Al Gemara is teaching us that Vizrai de Gila Rais is only by Chivi Skila, not by Chivi Lavin. So she's a Pnuya, that would be the best. If you can't find a Pnuya, what you should do is send along a child, an older child, with the midwife. It'll be enough to solve the problem of Yichud, but you're not asking an adult to be Mechal Shabbos, where he's not needed to actually do the delivery of the baby. So again, ask the Gemara. Eleman the Amr Pnuya Haisa. According to the Man Amr that says that this incident happened with a Pnuya, Michael Ahai, why were Chazchum so concerned? Rapap Amr Mishim Begam Mishpacha. Because they were concerned about the Begam Mishpacha. And the Mefarshim point out, why does the Gemara use the word Begam Mishpacha? We should say Begam the girl. It's a terrible thing that a girl should have to have relations with a man or even stand without clothing in a man. So Mefarshim answer, if the entire concern was the begam of the girl herself, so she could say, I'm Michael, my begam. Or maybe, indeed, she should be Michael under such circumstances. But she can't be Michael for a whole family. The concern is that we don't want B'nai Yisrael should come to act in such a way. And here, Tudor Mefarshim asks, why, what is the nafkamina between Begam Mishpacha and Kadesh Lai Ibn Yisrael Prutus Barayas? So I saw two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, let's say the person who got this disease that we're discussing has this terrible desire for a woman in his family. So there's no Begam Mishpacha. The family wants their relative to be saved. But Ibn Yisrael Prutus Barayas still exists. Or another nafkamina, Divrei Malkiel says, is let's say the girl is a geyoris. So we know Geshen is Gaya Kikotin Shanayla Dami, so she has no relatives. So there is no Begam Mishpacha, but she's a Jewish woman, she's a geyoris. And the concern of Kadesh Shaloi B'nai Yisrael Prutus Barayis still exists. And in fact, the Divrei Malkiel points out that the Rambam only brings down the reason Kadesh Shaloi B'nai Yisrael Prutus Barayis. Because the way we just explained, Kadesh Shaloi B'nai Yisrael Prutus Barayis is a more encompassing reason than just because of Begam Mishpacha, so Rambam just brings down this reason. Ants, the Gemara, if she's a single girl, and we have such a situation, so why don't we just give him advice? Lintza Mitzvah, let her marry her, and that'll take care of all of our problems. Answers the Gemara, just marrying her, Lamiyas Vedate, we're not calm him down. Rav Yitzchak, as Rav Yitzchak taught us, Damar Rav Yitzchak, Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Nit L'tam Bia V'nit Lev L'Aveira. Having relations in a permitted fashion, a husband-wife, doesn't have the same effect as doing it the Isser. Why does the Churban Beis HaMikdash have such a profound effect? So I saw a number of pshat. One pshat is that when Klal Yisrael is in Golus, they don't have the same level of enjoyment. So to get to that level of enjoyment, it has to come through a Mayim Genuvim. Otherwise, you just won't get that level of enjoyment when we're now in Golus, especially a Jew supposed to be thinking about the Tzar HaChurban. Another pshat, a fascinating pshat, it's not a Chassidish Sefer, it's Talmidei Rebbeinu Peretz. It's the Rishonim say this pshat. The Rishonim say that Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, we know the halach is that after a woman has a baby, she has to bring a carbon. Says the Talmidei Rebbeinu Peretz, what did the carbon accomplish? It brought a desire between husband and wife. But now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have these kabbonis that creates that desire, and therefore in a husband and wife relationship, that time has gone away. There's an interesting verse from the Atzichayim on the Gemara. He says, this is the reason why people don't listen to the rabbis. People don't listen to Rabbonim. He says, because Rabbonim don't do Averis, hopefully. So our Gemara is teaching us that only Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. So the people say to the Rabbonim, how could you know what it means to do an Aveir? You never tasted the taste of doing Mayim Genuvim. But I saw one more vart to end the shir, interesting vart. Why taka? What is the connection between the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the fact that husband and wife can't have that level of intimacy anymore? So Mefarshim explained, we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Gemara says Masech Gittin, because of Sinas Chinam. There was disunity amongst people. The Torah says this. What does it mean when a husband and wife have relations? That is the paradigm of the highest level of unity. The Torah uses the words, v'hayu l'basar echad. So since we sinned because of this unity, because of Sinas Chinam, the Einish, the Mida Kenega Mida, is that we can never enjoy the real high level of unity between a husband and wife until the Beis HaMikdash Shemitz Hashem comes back. M'heir b'yameinu. Hanulach ben Tzara Meira, Hanulach ben Tzara Meira, Hanulach ben Tzara Meira. As we've been learning, particularly the last two Prakim were focused on Averis for which a person is Chayiv Skila. Now our Mishnah turns, and the following Mishnah is about Averis for which there are other Mises Bezdin. And therefore says the Mishnah, Elahein HaNasrofim. This is a situation for which somebody would be Chayiv Srefa. Habo al Isho Bita, and we're not even going to define this now, because we're going to spend a lot of time in the Gemara working through these two words. Obash Kain Shazinsa, we recall, we actually learned the Sugyas. The Torah says, Obas Ish Kain Kisecha Liznois, Azavihi Mechaleles, Beish Tisarev. And for a quick review, we learned the Machlokes Rabbanim Rav Shimon. To whom is that Torah Pasuk speaking? Really, depends on the Machlokes of Rabbanim Rav Shimon, which we're going to speak to soon, which is considered a more serious form of Misa. According to Rav Shimon, Sreifa is more severe than Skila. According to Rabbanim, Skila is more severe than Sreifa. And therefore, according to Rabbanim, a Bas Ish Kohen who's a Nar Marasa will get Skila like every other Jewish woman. Just because she's a Bas Kohen, she shouldn't be downgraded. However, according to Rav Shimon, she'll get Sreifa, because Sreifa is a more serious type of Oinish. Both Rabbanim and Rav Shimon, however, will agree that if she's not an Arusa, she's an Asua, where a regular Jewish woman, as we've been learning, gets Chenek, a Bas Kohen gets Sreifa. Continues the Mishnah, Yesh Bechlal Ba Ish Yabita, included in the category of Ish Yabita, and now the Mishnah is going to mention 9 scenarios. Bita Yubas Bita Yubas Benoi, someone's daughter, his daughter's daughter, his son's daughter, Ubas Ishta, his wife's daughter, Ubas Bita, her daughter's daughter, Ubas Benoi, her son's daughter, and the obvious pshat of the Mishnah is that, and we'll speak about this in the Gemara too, is that the first case speaks not to someone who he's married to, because if he was married, then the daughter would be also out to your wife's daughter. It's a woman that he violated and got pregnant, and her daughter and granddaughters are also. And the next case is your wife's daughters and granddaughters. And the third case is Chamoisa, your mother-in-law, Eim chamaisa yimonlo's mother, veim chamav yifonlo's mother. Says the Gemara, Haban isha shenasa bita loiktani. The Mishnah doesn't speak about, which would be, if the Mishnah was talking about a mother-in-law, the way the Mishnah should have described itself is that if you have relations with a woman whose daughter you married, el abo el ishu ubita. The Mishnah seems to be speaking about a case where you had relations both with a woman and her daughter. Mechlal, and the Mishnah is teaching us, the tavayu l'surah. Both of these women you may not have this relationship with. Umaninu. Who are these women that the Mishnah refers to? Chamaisa, veim chamaisai. Your mother-in-law and your mother-in-law's mother. V'ktani, and our Mishnah teaches us, yesh b'chlal isha ubita. The Mishnah begins with the word, it says the words yesh b'chlal isha ubita. How do we understand those words? That the Mishnah is teaching us that ye isha ubita, the Torah tells us is asur, and the rest of the cases are extrapolated from that case. B'chlal, it seems that our Mishnah is teaching us the tavayu k'siva behedya, that the issa for want to have relations with his mother or and mother-in-law and her mother are mentioned specifically in the Torah. For Hanach and the rest of the other women, the other seven women that our Mishnah refers to, midrasha asya, will be learned from a drasha once we know the halacha by these women. Ask the Gemara, we're going to have a machloikis. It's actually Gemara on Daf Ayin Vav, tomorrow Shir. A machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and then there's a further machloikis between Rabbi Yishmol and between Bai and Rava, how to understand that machlokes. The Torah says that if somebody has relations with Isha v'ima, Oysa v'eshen v'eish Yisrael, which is a very difficult pasuk, because Pasha Pshat, the pasuk is telling us that if somebody has relations with a woman and her mother, they should be both burnt. And the question is, why should they both be burnt? Yes, the mother-in-law deserves to be burnt together with him because they did an avera, but his wife didn't do anything wrong. That's 100% permissible. So the machloek is how to understand that pasuk. Rabbi Abaya says that the machloek between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is that Rabbi Kiva learns the word esen means both, and Rabbi Shmuel doesn't. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk is teaching us that Allah is not a wife. The pasuk is not speaking about a wife and a mother-in-law. The pasuk is speaking about a mother-in-law and her mother. And therefore, according to Abaye's explanation of Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk indeed is teaching us that both you may not have relations with. And now our Mishnah that says a mother-in-law and her mother are usur is following that opinion. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk is only speaking about one. Who is the one? Her mother-in-law. So it comes out according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the issa to have relationship with mother-in-law's mother is not mentioned beferish in the pasuk, unlike our Mishnah. According to Rav's interpretation of this machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, everyone is in agreement that the Torah is only speaking about a mother-in-law and not her mother. Just what is the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva according to Rav? The machloikis is the Isser Sreifa to have relations with a mother-in-law remain even after the wife passes away? Where Rabbi Shmuel says it does, and Rabbi Kiva says it doesn't. So it turns out that the only one, according to what I just explained, who possibly holds that the Isser to have relations with a mother-in-law's mother is beferish in the pasuk is Rabbi Kiva according to Baye's explanation. And that's the Gemara's question. If we're going to say according to Abaye's explanation of the Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, Masnisin Mani, we will explain that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Kivi. El Ravad Amar Chamoy Solach Misa Ikmenayu. That the Machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is about a mother-in-law after the wife dies. But a mother-in-law's mother is certainly not in the Pasuk. Masnisin Mani, who will be the Tan of our Mishnah that seems to teach us that a mother-in-law's mother is also beferish from the Pasuk? Amalek Rava. So Rava is going to have to explain that the Mishnah, don't read the words of the Mishnah, Isha Bita, rather explain the Mishnah, Habal Isha Shanasa Bita, which is explicitly a mother-in-law. It's actually important to note that this question, if a mother-in-law is Asr, or to what degree is a mother-in-law Asr, after the wife passes away is still even relevant. The part where Rebbe Vega says this in the Tshuvas in our time, because we learned the sugya early in our Masechta that a ger shenas gayer, a ger shenas gayer, we just said before, is katan shenoy l'dami. Halachically, he has no relatives, so halachically he can marry any woman, his mother, his sister. But the Gemara taught us k'dei shlo yomru banu l'kedusha chamura l'kedusha kala. Anyone that he was also to marry previously, he can't marry now. So now the question is, what will be the halacha of a ger marrying his former wife's mother? If we say it's an issa d'oraisa, so we're saying that any issa that applies to a Jew applies to a ger, even though we say ger shenas gayer katshinai l'dami. But if we're going to follow the opinion of Rav according to Rebbe Akiva, where the issa of a mother-in-law to a former son-in-law is only an issa d'rabbanan, or certainly not that usher, maybe a ger would be allowed to marry his former mother-in-law. Kivega discusses this. So we learned in the Mishnah, Yesh b'chal ishu bita, chamoysa v'eim chamoysa v'eim chamav. Ask the Gemara, the case of chamoysai, and actually the case of eim chamoysai, according to Abaye, according to Bekiva, is already included in the words of ishu bita. So why does the Mishnah repeat chamoysai v'eim chamoysai at the end of the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara. The Gemara expects you to know this question, and the Gemara jumps in with the answer. Labaya. Answer the Gemara according to Baya. Either the Kaiboil or Mr. Aim Chamav. Since the Mishnah wanted to speak about the father-in-law's mother, Tani Nami Chamoysov, Aim Chamoysov, so the Mishnah mentions the mother-in-law and her mother, even though they're already included when the Mishnah said Ishu Bita. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, LaRava, that according to Rava, Chamoysov is at the beginning of the Mishnah, so why is the Mishnah repeat the din of Chamoysai? Answers the Gemara, either the Kabbalah Mr. Aim Chamav, Aim Chamoysai, since the Mishnah wants to introduce the halacha about a mother-in-law's mother and a father-in-law's mother, the Hani Nami Chamoysai, so the Mishnah repeats the din of a mother-in-law, even though it's been mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, how do we know indeed that this is the halacha? The Tanar Abban, Isha Shikach Isha Vesima, Ein Leli Isha V'ima. How do we know that a mother-in-law, Bas Isho, Bas Bito, Bas Bino. How do we know that a wife's daughter and her granddaughters are also a Chiv Sreifa? Answers the Gemara, Nema Kan Zima. The Torah says Zima by the din of a mother-in-law. The Torah says Zima by the din of a mother-in-law. And the Torah says the word Zima by daughter of your wife and her granddaughters. Malahalam Bito, Bas Bito, Bas Bino. Afkan Bito, or Bas Bito, Bas Bino. That Gzeres Shava teaches the Zachiv Sreifa. Now the Braisa says words that we're going to have difficulty understanding, but the good thing is the Gemara has the same difficulty, and the Gemara is going to explain each of these words. So let's just read them quickly. Menayim Lala says Zacharim Kinekavis. Nama Kanzima, Nama Lahalanzima, Malahan Zacharim Kavis, Av Zacharim Kinekavis. What that means, we'll see in a moment. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Menayim Lasis Lamata Kalamala, Nama Kanzima, Nama Lahalanzima, Ma lahalon lamata klamala, afkan lamata klamala. Uma kan lamala klamata, af lahalon lamala klamata. Now the Gemara begins to explain. Omar, the Braisa just used the words, Menayin las zacharim kinekavis. How do we know zacharim kinekavis are the same? Ask the Gemara. Mai zacharim kinekavis. What does the Braisa mean with these words? Ilema, bas bino, kabas bito, to teach us that a son's daughter is treated like a daughter's daughter, that we don't need a drasha for. But how did other kasim? The Torah speaks about both of them at the same time. El aim chamoysoi, aim chamav ke aim chamoysoi. To teach us, how do we know that a father-in-law's mother is treated like a mother-in-law's mother? Ask the Gemara, hash the aim chamoysoi kamalon. We haven't proven yet that a mother-in-law's mother is usher. So how is the Braisa trying to teach us the what should be the din? With a father-in-law's mother, we don't even know yet what the din is with a mother-in-law's mother. Hashta aim chamois lekamalon. We haven't yet proven what is the halacha with a mother-in-law's mother. Aim chama mahadallah. Do we want to try to explain what the din is with a father-in-law's mother? Answers the Gemara Amabaya. Rather says the Gemara Amabaya, says the Baya Hochikomer. This is the way to understand what the Braisa means to say. Minayin lasis share haba mimenu to share haba mimenu. How do we know to treat, as we learned in the Mishnah, that one's daughter, who he had from a woman who he violated, so he therefore never was married to that woman, and his grandchildren from that woman. His daughter was born from that relationship. Or his son who was born from that relationship. Their daughters should be treated the same as the daughter of his wife or the granddaughter of his wife. Ask the Gemara, answers the Braisa, Nemekan Zima, but Nemelahalan Zima. That's how we know they're treated the same way. Ask the Gemara, if you look in the Chumash, when the Torah speaks about his descendants, his daughter, his granddaughters, the Torah doesn't use the word Zima. So how does the Braisa equate them? Through establishing a Gzeirah Shava between his descendants to his wife's descendants, the Torah doesn't use the word Zima by his wife's descendants. By his descendants. For Shevidei asked the Gemara like Sibbe Zima. The Torah never used the word Zima. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amalei Reitzchuk Berav Dima, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. Which means as follows. Absolutely. The Torah doesn't use the word Zima by his descendants. But the Torah does use the word Heina by his descendants. And the Torah also uses the word Heina by her descendants. Furthermore, the Torah, as we learned in Amar Aleph, uses the word Zima by her descendants, and the Torah uses the word Zima by his mother-in-law. So now we have a situation of A equals B and B equals C. If we equated his descendants to her descendants, how? By having Gzeirah Shavah of Heina Heina, and then we equated her descendants to his mother-in-law with Gzeirah Shavah of Zima Zima, by connecting all of these people, the halacha will be that his descendants also will have a chiyuv sreifa. So now we understood what the Mishnah, when the Braisa used the word las zecharim and kavis, to teach us that the halacha of his descendants are equal to the halacha of his wife's descendants. Continues the Gemara in trying to understand the Braisa. It said in the Braisa, Amar Mar, Menayin lasis lamata klamala. Ask the Gemara again. My lamata kalmala. What does the Braisa mean by saying these words? Ilema, baspina, or baspita, kibita. Does the Braisa mean to teach us? How do we know that her grandchildren are usur like her daughter? Ask the Gemara. I don't need a pasuk. I don't need a lima to teach us that. But how did the kasyan? The pasuk speaks about her daughter and her granddaughters all the same. So why do we need? That's not something the Braisa has to teach us. Rather, says the Gemara, what the Braisa means to ask is, how do we know, something that we discussed in our mouth, how do we know Eim Chamov V'Eim Chamoisoi K'Chamoisoi, that not only is his mother-in-law Asr, but his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother will also be Asr. Says the Gemara, if that is what the Braisa is trying to teach us, then the wording of the Braisa is difficult to understand. Hai Lamata Kalamala, Lamata means a lower generation is like a higher generation. On the contrary, what the Braisa should have said is Lamala, a further up generation, meaning a mother-in-law's mother or a father-in-law's mother, which is further up. How do we know, the Braisa should ask, Kilamata Havoi should be treated like a mother-in-law? Answers the Gemara, you're right. We should change the word of the Braisa. Tana, what the Braisa is trying to figure out is Lamala Kilamata. How do we know that a mother-in-law's mother and a father-in-law's mother, which is higher up, further higher up from him, is treated klamata like his mother-in-law? He asked the Gemara, Ihachi, so let's continue reading the words of the Braisa. So the Braisa says, how do we know it? Because we have Gzeirah Shavah Zima Zima. Yochan namakan zima, namalahan zima. That the Braisa answers, because the Torah uses the word zima by a mother-in-law. And now that we're trying to understand, at least just to say the words, it's incorrect. And the Torah and the Braisa is suggesting that the Torah uses the word Zima by mother-in-law's mother and by father-in-law's mother. Ask the Gemara, but if we just established, O Mahashti, any like Siva, we're saying that the Torah really doesn't speak explicitly about a mother-in-law's mother. And the Torah doesn't speak explicitly about a father-in-law's mother. So Zima the Duke Siva doesn't say the word Zima. So what's the Braisa saying? So says the Abaya, again interprets the Braisa as follows. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Menayin lasa sholosh daris lamala. How do you know where you treat, starting with a wife, going up three generations? Kisholosh daris lamata, like three generations down from a wife, meaning three generations down means a wife, her daughter, and her granddaughters. three generations up means a wife, her mother, which is the person's mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law's mother and her father-in-law's mother, says, on this answers the Braisa, Nem Lamata Zima. The Torah used the word Zima when it speaks about downward descendants. The Nema Lamala Zima, and when the Torah speaks about upwards, about a mother-in-law, there too the Torah uses the word Zima, teaches us the Braisa. If the Torah uses the word Zima, and there the Torah is explicit that we're speaking three generations. Ma'ala Mata Shalosh Torahs, we're saying three Torahs, because about a granddaughter, as the Gemara said before, a granddaughter is mentioned explicitly in the Torah. So Zima teaches us that don't only go three generations downwards, go three generations upwards too. Ma'ala Mata Shalosh Torahs, Aflamata Shalosh Torahs. And now that's how we know, because we made this Xerish of a Zima, that not only is a mother-in-law that the Torah says the Befeirish Aser, but the same thing will apply to a mother-in-law's mother and a father-in-law's mother. V'nema, ma l'mata shalosh daris, af l'mala shalosh daris. O ma, ba'aynish os l'mata l'mala, if the Torah equates them regarding the Pasuk of Zima, which teaches us the Chiyiv, Sreifa, we've learned many times, ein einshim el mekei mazhirim. So we say that the Pasuk that teaches us the lav of having relations, the Isser of having relations with the mother-in-law, af bas haranami, we will say that the Torah meant os lamala klamat, and it goes up three generations. Ravashi has a different way of interpreting the Braisa. Lo'olam kriktani. Understand the Braisa as we've been learning. Omai lamata, lamata the Isser. The Bryce's question was, Minayin, that the halacha is Lamata Klamala. What does Lamata mean? So we understood Lamata means somebody closer to you. And Klamala is somebody further from you. And therefore we understood Lamata means your mother-in-law, which is a closer generation. Lamala means a mother-in-law, mother and a father-in-law's mother. Remember, so that's not the way to understand Lamata Klamala, Ravashi says. Lamata means a mother-in-law's mother. And a father's mother. Why is it called Lamata? Because it's a less of an Isser. Because the further the person is from you, the further related the person is from you, the less of an Isser. And therefore, the way to understand the Gemara, the way to understand the Braisa, says Ravashi, is as follows. Ravashi Lalam Kriktani. Umay Lamata, Lamata Ba Isser. The person who's less of an Isser to you is Usser. Umay He. Period. So that's the way to understand the Braisa. But the Braisa's question is a very simple question. How do we know that a mother-in-law's mother and a father-in-law's mother is usher, just like a mother-in-law? Ask the Gemara, if we have now established, umahi, when it comes to your wife, not only from your wife's side, not only are you usher to your mother-in-law, af em, imahi em ima asura, your mother-in-law's mother is usher, af who should we not say, Aim ima asura, that your mother's mother should be asur. And the halacha is, we remember the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos. The Mishnah Masechet Yevamos and Daf Ayin Ches teaches us that a mother's mother is not asur midaraisa. She's in the category what the Gemara there called shniyos, isuri derabbanan. But a mother's mother is not an isur midaraisa. And that's Abaye's question. If your mother's mother, we're saying now, is asur, certainly your mother's mother should be Asr. Amr Baya, response to that Abaya, Amr Kra, Imchahi. The Torah, when it speaks about the Issa to have relations with the mother, says Imchahi, to teach us Mishim Imayat Mechaivai, you're only Asr with your mother, Viyat Mechaivai Mishim Im Imay, not with your mother's mother, with your grandmother, not with your grandmother. Says the Gemara, a word of introduction. We have constantly in our Shiurim, Xerishavah means that we take two different subjects. Sometimes they're somewhat related and sometimes they're totally unrelated. And the Torah, by using the same word, of course we can't make Xerishavah on our own. Xerishavah, we have to have a Messiah back to Moshe and Sinai. But if there's a Xerishavah with the proper Messiah, connects the halachas of two different parashias. But there's a Gemara, Gemara is mentioned many times in Shas, that discusses how should Xerishavah be applied. The sugya is really a sugya regarding shvuas. The halacha is that a shvuas edus is only when somebody else came to the edim and said, you know testimony, and the edim swore falsely that they didn't. A shvuas abikadin is when the person made the shvu on his own. And the Gemara makes a gzeris shava between shvuas eidus and shvuas bikadin. And then the Gemara goes on to say, when we have a gzeris shava, how do we apply the technicality, the lomdus of a gzeris shava? Do we say that if I'm learning something from a different parasha, so if that becomes the source of the limud, I have to apply all of the halachas that are applicable to the source? Or do we say we only use the gzeris shava, it's a much more limited effect. We only use the gzeris shava to teach us the halacha that is in question. And we'll understand this a little better as we get into the Gemara. But once we have the gzeris shava, we don't take and create new halachas. We put it into the context of what we're learning. Says Rava, Bein l'man da'omar, both according to the man da'omar that views gzeris shava, don mino mino, that if we're learning something from somewhere else, we have to take all of the characteristics of the melamed and apply it to the thing we're learning. Or bein l'man da'omar, don mino, v'ukabas, we don't take all of the characteristics, we take the din and we apply it within the characteristics that already have been established for the thing we're learning, loy asya. We can't learn the halacha of eim imoy, a mother's mother, from the halacha of a mother-in-law's mother. Why? Lamanda Omar, according to the opinion that says that a gzeres shava is analyzed, donimina, and we should say, mahi eim imoy asura, just like you're not allowed to have a relation with your mother-in-law's mother, afhu, so too, nami eim imoy asura, you should not be allowed to have midoraisa relations with your mother's mother. Umino, we would then, if we say don mino mino, what does don mino mino say, as I just said? That we take all of the characteristics of the malamid and we apply it to the new situation. So we would have to say, if we're learning the halacha of eim imoy from eim imo, and we've been learning since we started the Mishnah, that the onish for eim imo sreifa, we would therefore have to say, Mahi b'sreifa, having relationship with a mother-in-law is a with a mother-in-law's mother is a chiv sreifa. We would have to say afhu nami, that having relation with a mother's mother is also with a chiv sreifa. Says the Gemara, as I mentioned at the beginning of our shir, there's a machloikus of Shimon Rabbanon. What is a more severe mises bezdin, sreifa or skila? According to Rav Shimon, who holds that sreifa chamura. Ikla Mifrach. Malahi, she came ima b'sreifa. We could say, you know why a mother-in-law's mother is a chiv sreifa? Because a mother-in-law is a chiv sreifa. Taim b'hu. But if we're saying now that not only is a mother asr b'daraisa, but a mother's mother is asr b'daraisa, it makes no sense. Imai, for his mother, the Torah says explicitly there's a chiv skila. And now because we're learning a gzeres shava, we're going to say a mother's mother, who's certainly less of a relative than a mother, will have a more severe misa of sreifa. That's what the gzeres shava would teach us, which makes no sense. Taim b'hu shima b'skila. Void ima b'skila v'im ima b'sreifa. Void. In other words, the first question is, you can't learn the halacha of his relatives from her relatives, because his relatives come with a chiv skila, and her relatives come with a chiv sreifa. That's the first question. The second question is that we're going to have an untenable situation here, where relations with a mother will carry a less severe misa, skila, and relationship with a mother's mother, who's a further relative, will have a more severe chiv misa. Voi, mahi, lechalak deba, bein ima la'im ima. We're going to have a situation that by a mother-in-law and a mother-in-law's mother, they both get the same oinish, a chiv srifa. Afhu, nami lo tachlik ba bein imay la im imay. So how can we have a situation that the mother should have a chiv skila and the mother's mother should have a chiv sreifa? And because we wouldn't know what nisa to give, explains Rashi, we end up with not being able to apply the gzeres shava on any circumstances. Furthermore, says the Gemara, ulaman da amar skila chamura. According to man da amar, that skila is a more severe punishment than sreifa. So the question that the Gemara asked, that it's untenable that a mother's mother should have a more severe misa than a mother, falls away, because actually won't have a more severe misa. The mother will be skila, the mother's mother will be sreifa. Mahai kasha learned the dinah. That question falls away, but all the other questions remain. Continues the Gemara. Ulamandamar, according to the mandam that says, domino vukba asra, that even if we learn Gzeirah Shava, it doesn't mean to take all of the characteristics of the Gzeirah Shava and apply it. We only apply some of it. And therefore, the Gzeirah Shava will teach us as follows. Mahim ein ema asura. Just like a mother-in-law's mother is asur. Af hu nami im ema asura. We would say the same thing, his mother should be asur. But because we're taking a more limited view of the Gzeirah Shava, we therefore would say v'uka ba'asra, and would say hasam, a mother-in-law's mother, that since a mother-in-law's in this sreifa, therefore her mother's also sreifa. Aval hacha, by a mother, since his mother is ostin b'skila. Aval hacha b'skila, we would say that a mother's mother's iser, or oynish better said, is a chiv skila, because his mother is a chiv skila. Aval hacha b'skila, a mother's mother's oynish would be skila, because k'ashkachim b'imoy, since the mother's oynish is skila. Says the Gemara, Amanda am a sreifa chamura, according to Rav Shimon that said that sreifa is a more serious oynish, ikla mefrach malihi, she came ima b'sreifa. You know why a mother-in-law's mother is asur? Because obviously, relatives from the wife side are very seriously surim, because they get the most severe mises bezdin. And therefore, not only is a mother-in-law asur, but even her mother's asur. Time behu. But a mother, who's not such a serious aveira, what's the raya? Because the mother's only getting skila. And again, we're going now according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, that holds skila is less of a severe oynish than sreifa. Time behu, shimon beskila. Since his mother only gets skila, that is a clear indication that his mother is less of a serious aveira than her mother. And therefore, that should also be an indication that the Isser, even though it goes off from a mother-in-law to her mother, does not go from a mother up to her mother. Void, who kihi, mahi, lechalakta, ba, bembita, leim ima. There's no difference between a daughter and a mother-in-law. By both of them, the oynish is sreifa. Afu lechalak bembita, leim ima. Which is not true, because bitoi has a chiv sreifa, and leim ima is a chiv skila. Furthermore, says the Gemara, that's if we say Sreifas chamura. Ulamand am skila chamura. According to the man that says skila is more chamur. So the first question that says that a mother-in-law is surim are more significant than a mother is surim, that isn't true, because a mother is surim is more significant. Mahai kashlo in the dula. But we can ask the following question. E mahi kalosa sura. So that question falls away, but the other questions remain. And therefore, says Rava, because we have these questions, we cannot learn the din of a mother's mother from a mother-in-law's mother. And therefore, says Rava, we have no source in the Torah that a mother's mother is Asur. And therefore, the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos indeed is correct, the Mishnah that says the mother's mother is only Nisishniyah.